right, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Proverbs, right next to Psalms, real close to the middle of the Bible. Proverbs 23:23. I did not set out to preach this message on Father's Day. As you can see, our theme is, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and look, we got a bunch of banners out here in the hallway on truth. And I started writing this message a couple weeks ago, and as I wrote it, it lended itself to a message that I thought that maybe I should preach on Father's Day. There's a lot of passages that refer to our fathers. And in the Old Testament, when it talks about our fathers, it may mean, you know, our immediate father, but it might mean our grandfather, or it might mean the men who have gone before us. In fact, when it talks about the Jewish nation, it talks about our fathers, the fathers of the nation. So the father, of course, was Israel, that's Jacob, but the fact is there were fathers. There was this generation of leaders that came before. And we as fathers are leaders. We're supposed to be leaders. You know, there used to be a day when men were men and women were glad of it. And the fact is, I think if they would just turn off the TV and turn off the radio and just go with the way God designed us, I think women would like men to be men again. I mean, men, be leaders, be kind, be courteous, be have a little chivalry in you, if you will. Treat ladies like ladies, and I'll be honest with you. I really think that we would have a whole lot less of other stuff going on because, to be honest with you, I think women are attracted to men, believe it or not. I think God made it that way. And sometimes I think some women are like they're ashamed to say that they're actually attracted to a man who leads, a man who's got his mind going where it's supposed to go. He's got a vision of where he wants to go. Listen, they want to follow a leader. And be honest with you, your kids, both male and female kids, they want to follow a leader. They want somebody who's got someplace to go. And go. Now, to a certain extent, since that's in our being, men, we are leading whether we know it or not. We may not be leading in the right direction. Well, maybe we are. We may be leading folks to think of men in a different light than God designed men to be. God designed men to be men. God made them, male and female. He did that on purpose. He didn't blur the lines. Male means to pick up the load, to carry the weight, to do the hard stuff. That's what male means. Go back in the Bible. It means male, the one who carries the load. The protector, the provider. Female means to nurture. Listen, just put a bunch of kids in the nursery and put a smattering of toys in there. Now you tell me what the boys are going to play with. The trucks, the hammers, all that stuff. Before they've even had a chance to see what the world's like. And what do the girls do? They pick up the babies. They sit there and they put stuff on the table. They play like that. It's amazing. Why? Because God made us that way. And why don't we just let it happen the way God said it to happen? Now, the message I have here today is directed to fathers. Mothers need to hear this too. In fact, we all, and there's an application for all of us, even if you're not a mother or a father, okay? But there's an application for fathers as well. And we're going to read here in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 23 and a few verses following. Verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lie in wait as for a prey, increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to talk about that first verse there where I read, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the truths that are here in this passage. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to convey it. And may we all learn some things here that maybe will direct us from this step forward. Maybe there's folks who've lived by this passage for years. And that, amen, that's good. And maybe there's some of us need to be encouraged to maybe step out and live more closely to this passage and take the steps to live by truth, proclaim truth, and pass truth on. So, Father, thank you for what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. It says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. How does this come to be? I mean, how does his kids come to be righteous? By taking heed to the word of God. How does his son come to learn to take heed of the word of God? Someone has trained him in the way he should go, and now that he is old, he still doesn't depart from it. Well, who trained him? The father. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Now that's that same principle. The father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. He says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Fathers, if we are going to make a spiritual difference in the lives of our children, we're going to have their hearts. And how do you have their hearts? By giving them your heart. We have a Christian school here, and I learned this a long time ago. Kids you can teach a kid a whole lot more if they think you like them. I tell our teachers here at the church, I said, you need to love the kids. But how do you know? How do you love the? There's a lot of folks who say, well, I love them. I smacked him in love. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Now, there's sometimes we've got to paddle. I understand there. But, I tell our kids, our folks here at the church who are working with kids, we need to love the kids. Well, how, but they need to know that you love them. How is that? How do they know that they love? They perceive it in the fact that they think you like them. You have given them, you talk to them like a, you've given them their heart. You've talked to them one-on-one. You've talked to them as a real person. You didn't talk down to them. They weren't your subordinate. They're a person. Do you realize that every person ever born has a soul? Do you know that little kids have feelings? They have feelings. You dumb kid, what's the matter with you? Don't you have any brains in your in your head? Lay too long on one side, your brain done run, fell out your ear. You know, we say stuff like that, and you know, we think, well, we're just, they're kids. They'll bounce back. Listen, there's not a whole lot in their memory bank right now. So those things stick. There's plenty of room for it. We've got to be careful what we're doing. We want their heart. He said, give me thine heart. And we want his heart. We've got to give them our heart. Fathers, if we're going to make a spiritual difference in the lives of our children, we're going to have their hearts. And fathers, we must teach and warn our children of the danger and the traps of sin and life. And that's what it talks about there in the next passage. Now, let me kind of walk through this as we go along. We live in a world where everyone is clamoring for our attention. Everyone has the latest and best new answer to the world's problems. And you would think that we're just lucky the world didn't fall apart while we were waiting for the political commentators or the psychologists to arrive in our lives and solve all our problems. How did we ever survive before Dr. Phil and Oprah? The world's experts will often claim they found a new truth. And let me say this. Application of truth may be added to old truth, but truth is always the same. That is, if it is really truth, it has always been truth and always will be truth. We can try to verify truth the best we can, but often the world is wrong about truth. And no, we cannot assume that the people on TV who verify everything are right. Today is Father's Day, and I think that we can assume that the vast majority of parents love their children. And they want the best for them. Most parents actively protect their children from harm. And I do think it is interesting these days that in the effort to protect their children from harm, some parents protect their children from the world, and some parents protect their children from God. You know, if my 5-year-old son came to me and he said, Daddy, I want to mow the lawn for you. I want to drive the tractor and mow the lawn. I said, well, thank you, son, but no. But no, I want to mow the lawn, Daddy. No, I'm sorry, you can't. But I want to mow the lawn, Daddy. I'm sorry, son, I'm not going to let you mow. I want to mow the lawn, I want to mow the lawn, I want to mow the lawn. No, I'm sorry, you're not going to mow the lawn. I hate you. My 12-year-old son comes to me and he says, Dad, I want to run that errand to the hardware store, so give me the keys of the car. No, I'm going to drive. No, I want to drive. No, son, I'm going to drive. I want to drive. I know I can do it, Dad, I really do. I know I can do it. Well, son, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you drive down to the hardware store. I hate you. My 16-year-old son comes to me, and he says, Dad, I think I'm a girl. And I want to start transitioning. No. Yeah, I really believe with my heart that I'm a girl. I've been thinking about this for a long time. He's 16 years old. I've been thinking about this for a long time. And I know that's, no son, we're not going to do that. But Dad, it's who I am. Don't you love me? Yes, sir. Yeah, I do. I love you, but we're not going to do it. Dad, come on, Dad. Son, we're not going to do it. I hate you. You see what I'm saying here? Some folks think that the world's wisdom is truth. Not only that, but they actually seek to protect their children from the truth of God's word. A small group can be very vocal about it until we think that the whole world must believe in these lies. They don't, and even if they did, it doesn't make it true. Now, there may be some folks here who say, well, here we go again, the preacher's getting into politics. No. Politics is getting into God's business of truth and morality. We should not let them take it. There is one place where we can find truth, and that is in the Word of the one who is literally the embodiment of truth, Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God made flesh. And He also has a more sure word of truth. We have that more sure word of truth, which is in the written Word of God called the Bible. Now, the world hates absolute truth. See, if you have absolute truth, then you can't justify sin. If I can kind of slide on truth, I can slide my sin in there and not violate truth. At least we think so in our minds. They'll say their truth is absolute, but that's their opinion. And when we actually go to absolute truth to find guidance for our lives, these people chafe at the idea. On the other hand, there are many Christians who know the Bible is true. They know it contains truth, and yet they will allow the world to talk them out of it. When the world offers them some trinket, some position of notoriety, or something that pleases their lusts, many people, and even some Christians, will often trade truth for whatever is behind door number three. We have truth in our hand, and yet we can be convinced that there's something better out there in the world for us. Someone has come up with a new truth to take the place of the old antiquated truth in the Bible. Do whatever you need to do to obtain truth. Invest time, energy, and even money to gain truth. You don't trade it away or allow anyone to buy you off. The Bible says, buy truth and sell it not. Don't sell truth. You need truth for yourself, for life, for your marriage, for your children, for your business, for your education. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And as fathers, we are responsible, and as men in society, we are responsible for the training of the children. Are you going to raise your child and train your child in the ways of the world or in the ways of truth? And don't say they will be just fine living in this filthy, disease-ridden cesspool of the world. As careful as they may be, one cannot help but get some of that muck and mire on them. And when they're living in this filthy world day after day. I know. I went to a secular college the first time as an adult, my first college degree. Didn't grow up in an independent Baptist home. Didn't really know where to go to college, and wanted a music degree. I went to a secular college. Now, I was saved. And I knew that they didn't believe the Bible, was even antagonistic against it. And I, you know what? And even then when I knew that, I later discovered how that it had rubbed off on me in certain areas. And I had to get rid of that again. And maybe you've not settled the question in your own heart as to what is truth. How can we lead and train someone in truth if we're unsure of truth ourselves? How can we make decisions, the right decisions in life, if we're unsure of truth, especially when the world is bombarding us constantly with philosophy and things that they call truth. First thing I want to show you is the principle of our passage here. He says back in 23:23, buy truth and sell it not. Buy it, procure it, gain possession of truth. Do what it takes to legally take possession of truth. Be willing to trade other valuable things in order to obtain truth. Remember, it may be costly, but it is worth it. Buy the truth. This thing's not going to stay on here, is it? I've beat that thing to death. Buy the truth. The established certainty, that which is sure and right. It is like Jesus said in Revelation 21:5, Jesus says this, write, for these words are true and faithful. These words are true and faithful. When it says buy the truth, be willing to pay the price. That might mean time and energy. Do what it takes to get truth and sell it not. Don't give it away. Don't surrender your ownership of it. Don't let anybody steal it from you. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Listen, there are folks who are willing to sell truth for the sake of making a friend. Friends are good. And be a friend. Always be a friend. Of course, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord Jesus himself. But people will say, well, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but if I don't do this, then this person's not going to like me anymore. So I'll go along with it. You just sold truth. You just sold truth. Now, you don't be mean about it. There's been times in my life I said, you know what, I just can't do that. Well, I mean, it won't be bad. It's just what, I'm sorry. I really do. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm sorry. I just can't. Be humble about it. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. And watch. Also, look at your passage, also wisdom. In other words, get the wisdom that comes with the truth. To have a good sense to know how to apply truth. That's what wisdom is. Have enough sense to be able to use the truth you have. And then it says, and instruction. That's an interesting word. We like to, well, he just told me what I should do. Well, there's more to it than that. You remember the first word in the definition of that word instruction? Chastisement. Warning. Reproof. To have your actions put in check or corrected. To get someone to correct you when you stop following truth. That's part of what we do in church. We've got truth, folks. Well, you stepped on my toes. Well, move your toes. Don't put your toes there. If you're walking that way, you're going to get your toes stepped on. Don't walk over there. Do what God said. He said, listen, buy the truth. Get wisdom. Get instruction. Get instruction on how to use the truth. And instruction when we misuse the truth. And then it says, and understanding. That means to have the knowledge to be able to distinguish between right and wrong, good and bad, righteous and unrighteous, godly and ungodly. That's what truth does. With the truth, you get understanding. Truth. In Timothy 3 says this, all scripture, that's truth, is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, that's what's right, for reproof, that's what's not right, for correction, that's how to get right, and instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what truth does if we will take the truth. Now, what is truth worth to you? What is truth worth to you? It is said that every man has a price. Every man has his price. What would it take for you to sell the truth to get what you want? Some folks do not want truth because it may get in the way of them having their own way. Let me say that again. Some folks don't want truth because it'll get in the way of them having their own way. But we hear a lot about selling truth to get what you want in politics. Well, you got to compromise this, you got to compromise that. Now, I know some things are not absolute truth and there's some room for compromise. I understand that. But there's a lot of things that aren't. I'm sorry. But this is nothing new in mankind. Listen, Adam and Eve sold truth for the price of fruit. Samson sold truth for a woman. The prophet Balaam was almost willing to sell truth. He tried to, couldn't get the deal done for financial gain and notoriety. Lot was willing to sell truth and his family to for greener pastures. David sold truth for a one-night stand. Judas was willing to sell truth for 30 pieces of silver, and he later regretted it. What have you been willing to trade truth for? What is knowing truth worth to you? Listen, we need to buy the truth. Jesus gave a parable. It says again in Matthew 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Are you willing to pay the price to have truth and wisdom and instruction and understanding? Or are you not willing to deprive yourself of the association with the world and its trinkets in order to make sure you have truth to live by? So how much is truth worth to you? There's no cost too great to obtain truth, no effort too great to put forth for truth, nothing too valuable that is not worth trading for truth. Your life depends on truth. Your success depends on truth. Your worth depends on truth. Many Christians are lured away by the advertisement of the world. Peer pressure is active at all ages and economic levels and social levels. The world is and is going to be constantly telling you why their way is better, why their choices are better, why it's better to do the things that they do than the things that Christians do. The world will warn you, don't let the Bible take all your freedoms away. Don't be a crazy Bible-thumping fanatic. You're wasting your life trying to live all that Bible stuff. They will say, live and let live and enjoy life while you have it, because when it's over, it's over. Don't let a baby's life in your womb stop you from achieving your dreams. Many times Christians know down deep in their hearts what is true and righteous, and yet they stay quiet about it, even play dumb, because their flesh desires a friendship with the world more than truth. They desire the acceptance and praise rather than the praise of God. They don't want truth ruining their fun. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Moses, who was the son of the Pharaoh's daughter by adoption. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He says, it'll be worth it in the long run. It'll be worth it in the long run to be associated with God and his people than with the world. May not seem like it right now, but it'll be worth it in the long run. Truth and wisdom will spoil your sinful fun, but it will spare us much hurt and give us success in life. How many times have I quoted, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Do truth. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Then things are going to go the way it's supposed to. You've got to put God's word truth first. You expect that to happen. Proverbs 7 says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that thou may keep thee from a strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Truth will keep you out of trouble. That's the principle. Number two, the result. The result. Look at verse 24 in our passage. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Listen, parents naturally want the best for their children. I think they do. However, many parents don't know what the best is. See, many parents are willing to sell the truth, and when they do, they unknowingly lead their children into hurtful situations. Some parents have been listening to the counsel of the ungodly. Reminiscent of Psalm 1. Maybe they've been standing in the way of sinners or even sitting in the seat of the scornful. Their delight has not been in the law of the Lord, and so they do not train their children. Train them. Force and require, if necessary, for them to adhere to the law of the Lord. But most of all, we do it by leading them by doing it ourselves. They don't meditate on the law day and night. Deuteronomy 6:5, the parents, I'm kind of paraphrasing here. I'm kind of rewriting it here. But the parents don't love the Lord God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. And the words which God has commanded is not in their hearts. And they don't always teach the law of God diligently unto their children. They don't talk of them when they're sitting in their house and when they're walking by the way and when they lie down and when they rise up. They haven't bound them for a sign upon their hands. And they don't keep them in the front of their eyes. And they've not written them upon the posts of their house and on their gates because they haven't led the kids into truth. I think some parents do not teach their children the whole truth because they don't want the children to know the whole truth. Why? Because if they knew the whole truth, it would expose the sins of the parents and make them look bad. I'm not here to slice and dice, but I'll be honest with you, I think that's the honest to goodness truth. Don't we want our children to meditate on the law day and night so they will be like trees planted by the rivers of water which bring forth fruit and in their season the leaves do not wither and whatsoever they do shall prosper? Isn't that what we want? Or do we want our children to sell the truth and listen to the ungodly? But see, the ungodly are not so, in Psalm 1 it says, but they're like the chaff where the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, you're being too dramatic, Pastor. Come on, this is life. You're being too dramatic. Oh, so you already don't believe in the Word of God. If you think I'm being dramatic, then you don't believe what I just read there from the Word of God. It's not my word, folks. It's the word of, it's called truth. I'm not trying to be smart aleck here, folks. I'm not. It's called truth. If we don't believe that, we've already fallen for the lies of the ungodly. We're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, number three, I want to show you the practice and the application. Look at verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know what that means? Parents, we need to walk in truth. John said, nothing makes him happier than to see that his children walk in truth. Well, they got to make their own decisions. They're children. You're supposed to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, that principle works whether you train them in truth or you train them in the world's philosophy. What you train them in is what's going to be ingrained in them the rest of their life. And if you train them in the things of the world, listen to me, it's going to be hard to get that out of them. God is going to have to do miracle working power. Well, he can do it. Listen, why make it hard on your children? Teach them truth the first time. Teach them truth on the way of. They don't know any different. This is just the way it is. Some years ago, when our kids were teenagers, we had a young lady come over to our house, and we were having lunch or something, and we were having burgers. We were putting lettuce and tomato on top of it, and she said, "Oh, you're putting salad on there." We just kind of laughed. No, that's what we call it, salad. We got salad on a burger, and it's funny. And there were some other things. I forget what it was. And our kid, well, that's kind of weird. But there were some things in our house. Our kids just think, well, everybody does this. Because that's the way we train them. And I told you the other week when I got my appendix out, some years ago, 30 years ago, you know, my youngest daughter Hannah saw me. I was a Wednesday night. I just came from the hospital. I was not going to go to church, but the rest of them were going to go to church. By the way, they didn't all need to stay home and sit with me while I lay there and sleep on the sofa. Go to church. Well, we got to sit there and go to church. Why use that as an excuse? Was it Sterl? I guess it was Sterl. My oldest son was born. He was born at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. I was a music director of a church. We had an 8:30 service and a 10:45 service, just like we do right now. And I called the pastor and I said, I'm not going to make it to the 8:30 service, but I'll see you at 10:45. They said, well, your wife just had a baby. What are you doing? She didn't want me in that room. She was sleeping. She didn't need me in the room. She's got Jesus. She said that. Don't sit here and watch me sleep. Go to church. I'd feel bad. Why? Because she wants me to have truth. So I called the pastor. I told him I'll be in for 10:45 service. He told the early service, said, well, Sterling and Janet had their first child, Sterling Walsh III, and he was born this morning at 3 o'clock, and Sterling will be in at 10:45, and they all laughed. I said, no, he's going to be in at 10:45 to lead the music. Listen, I was wide awake. I'd been up all night, but I was wide awake. You know, this time, I mean, we had been through a lot, and then I watched the C-section and all kinds of crazy stuff. I was awake. And why sit there and do nothing? Twiddle my thumb. Why? I want to be in church. Now, you know what? Now, that was with our first child. So I don't think our oldest son knew I went to church that day. But the fact is, we've lived our life like that. Our kids know truth is basically at the top of the heap of what we need to have. Truth makes a difference in life. And he warns them. He says, verse 27, this is what Daddy's warning. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for her prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Fathers, teach abstinence and to save the physical relationship for marriage. One way you teach that? By doing that. You abstain from all other women except for that kid's mother. Not trying to be mean. He's, well, I've already messed that up. Confess it, forsake it. God will give you mercy. Serious. Listen, there have been things in my life that I have done wrong that I realized was more important for my kids to know truth than to save face. And I've told my kids I was wrong. It's more important for them to know what was right and what is true than for them to think that their daddy believed in that mess that he just did. You say, well, they'll lose respect for you. Let me ask you a question. We've all had parents, and parents are people, so parents are sinners. So if they've done something that they've actually sinned and you saw it, and maybe that sin was against you, what if your father walked into your room as a kid one day, or even now, and said, I'm so sorry I messed up. I was wrong. I didn't deal with that right. I treated you wrong. And I understand why you're upset with me. And if you're not upset with me, except for the grace of God, I guess that's why you're not. But I was wrong. And I hope you'll forgive me. And if you can't forgive me, I understand. But I want you to know that it wasn't right and I did wrong. Now, would you respect your parent less if they did that, or more? Are you teaching your children to drink alcohol or drugs, or simply using them yourself? Are you setting them up for a life full of problems? Your sexual sins and abuse and addictions is nothing new. Sounds like our society. Verse 29, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry along at the wine, they that go and seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be stupid and do stupid things. Thou shalt be as of him that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They've beaten me, and I felt it not. And when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. He said, my son, give me thine heart, and let mine eyes observe my ways. And then he goes on and warns about sexual sin, which our people have a terrible time with. And he warned them about abuse and addictions. Well, this is the way life has always been for my family. I may be a drunk, but my daddy was a drunk. My grandfather was a drunk. I can't expect to be much different than that. And so, and my children too. Well, why do we run with folks who are going to pull us back down into sin? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It has to stop somewhere. Why not with you? God has never been, God's never been with our family. He's always, listen. So why should we change? He says, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Did you hear that? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. What's the result? I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Why isn't God walking with me? Because you're not willing to walk with him. You want to walk with him, you're going to have to walk where God walks. How many times have I said that? To come out from among that mess. You say, well, I can't be a father because I never had a father. You can have a father. When mother and father forsake you, the Lord shall take you up. You want a father? Walk with daddy. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will be a father to you. This world is hard. When we were a kid, we thought we had no fun because we had daddy looking down our shoulder, somebody looking down our shoulder all the time. And then we got older, and all the responsibility is on us, and we're back. We wish we had a daddy again to pay the bills and keep us safe. And you know what? You can. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you. Dads, dads and moms, if you're trying to straddle between the Lord and the world, you're fighting a losing battle. As Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Seek truth. Surrender to truth. Teens, a few of you in here. Kids, if your parents are trying to move toward having a godly home, don't fight them. Don't fight them. Give them your heart. They're not perfect. But children, obey your parents, for this is right. The Bible says. We need to give all our energy, all our focus, all our finances if necessary to obtain truth of God's word and not give it away for any price. Listen, failure and loss is not worth it, no matter how much the world offers you. Because that's what happens when you don't have truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these truths.